Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
All right, we are live. Batavia Downs Gaming and Racetrack, 34 Rush, Mike Danger, Gene Battaglia. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Welcoming in Rich Donnelly, News 10 NBC. Man, it's been a long time since we've had you on, Rich. How you been?
I've been good. I think it's been since Bill's training camp. I haven't been on with you guys. It has been a minute. How have you guys been?
Bill's training camp.
Oh, I think we lost Rich.
Still here.
No. Okay, there we go.
Rich, let's start with Major League Baseball's crisis that they've got on their hands right now. I mean, Major League Baseball has a big mess on their hands in terms of you know, the sign-stealing scandal. We heard, I'm going to use big, exaggerated air quotes around this word, an apology from the Houston Astros. Give us just your overall take on everything that's going on this issue with Major League Baseball and how they should proceed.
So I'm really excited for the season because I want to see the reception that the Astros get in all 81 of their road games, because I don't think we as baseball fans have seen a unanimous anger towards a single entity like we have since like Barry Bonds' steroid era, where whenever he was on the road, you would see signs and people threw needles, like you're going to get trash can signs and everything, every single road game. And I'm interested to see just how far this goes. And as far as the apology yesterday, oh my goodness, can someone tell the billionaire owner of the Astros, just shut up, just stop talking? Because he didn't do himself any favors when he said, I don't think it changed the game at all. And then 55 seconds later saying, well, I didn't say that. It's like, oh, for God's sake. Like, now, if he wanted to come out guns blazing, then he should have said, then he should have never fired the GM and manager. AJ Hinch would still be his man. Now, I understand they're suspended, but if he wanted to double down and be the bad guy owner, okay, fine. But do that. Don't talk out both sides of your mouth. You know, in the prepared statements by the players at the press conference, like, I understand you want to just protect yourselves and move on. They did seem a little bit more remorseful in the sound that I heard coming from the clubhouse afterwards. But this is crazy. Like, you're getting player on player just vitriol. A couple of the Dodgers saying that, like, they stole our World Series. And I think what's going to come down money-wise, a lot of players are really going to be affected in the wallet, because when Aaron Judge comes up to renegotiate his contract, there's an MVP that's sitting in Jose Altuve's house that should probably be in Aaron Judge's.
No question. Rich Donnelly from News 10 NBC, our guest here in the sports bar. You know, the Astros cheated. They were not forthcoming in an apology, if you even want to call it an apology. But, Rich, I also have a big problem with Rob Manfred and Major League Baseball. To learn this week that the Oakland A's had already said, long before Fires brought this to the attention of the Athletic, the fact that this investigation took so little time and there wasn't any punishment for the players. It's like they didn't think things through here. Rich, I never thought there would be a worse commissioner in sports than Gary Bettman. To me, Rob Manfred is that guy right now. I think his leadership here is lacking, to say the least.
I think he was looking for low-hanging fruit, because I think he's, I mean, Rob Manfred started with baseball as a labor attorney. So I think he was looking at the union and knew that he'd be in a long, drawn-out fight with the Players Association and just didn't want to deal with it. So thought he could give just a couple backhanded punishments, and that's why he attacked Beltran, because Beltran was a player, but he no longer is, so he's not protected by the union. So I think Manfred was just sitting here going, if I could just quickly punish the people who I know I can punish without any backlash towards me, I'm just going to do it and hope this goes under the rug. The problem is, in America, even though baseball's fallen behind football as the most followed sport, baseball has still maintained itself as, this is the way we do things. And there is an order and a like priority. And the fact that it was damaged, that irritates Americans more than anything you could do cheating in other sports. And I mean, the simple fact that there's some audio of like whistling against in Dodgers games, like right before huge hits, and the trash can banging. And there's the former Blue Jays reliever who's now suing the Astros in civil court because he feels his entire career was damaged by one game. This is going to keep on going. And remember when the NBA had the issue with China and the quickest thing the NBA wanted to do was just get to game. Right now, baseball is in a 6-week period of we're going to do nothing but just talk about this because there's no actual games to have. Once people start not seeing Mike Trout hit home runs on the West Coast, then this will start to dissipate. But they've got until mid, like late March before this really goes away.
News 10 NBC Sports Director Rich Donnelly joining us in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia live from Batavia Downs Gaming and Racetrack. Rich, you know, you bring up a good point. I think we are going to continue to talk about the sign-stealing scandal, even though baseball is doing their best to kind of get us talking about other things happening with the game and sweep this under the rug so we can look forward to the 2020 season and beyond, including potentially expanding the postseason and all of the rule changes. I want to get your take on both the actual rule changes that'll be happening, the proposed expansion of the playoffs here as well. What do you think about what baseball is giving us here in terms of, well, I'm viewing it as a distraction, but these are our stories that are also impacting the game.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the batter minimums for a pitcher. So let's say you bring in some guy to the bullpen and he gets shelled, like back-to-back home runs on two pitches. You're forced to leave him in for a third, like, it seems like you're restricting strategy from the managers. I understand wanting to speed up the pace of play, and I've been saying this one for a while. Here's my like idea for speeding up the game. When a batter steps in the batter's box, he is not allowed to get out unless he fouls a ball off of his foot, foul tip, something like that, and the umpire allows him. There's no just calling time. I'd call this the Nomar Garciaparra rule. There's no calling time to adjust your gloves or just look into the stands and just waste time. When you're in the box, the pitcher has every second he wants to throw the baseball. It is completely up to the pitcher. The batter loses control, and I honestly believe you'd shave off 20 minutes by just not letting guys like adjust their batting helmets with a foot out of the box. And then as far as the postseason, I mean, I'm all in favor. I loved the second wild card because I thought you bring in more teams and there's more teams playing meaningful baseball in September. I do think baseball is a game of repetition, so I would almost be hesitant to have like a huge bye if I'm the first overall seed. So I would like to see that kind of tinkered with a little bit, but I'm not as vehemently opposed to that as I would the NFL making half of the teams reach the postseason.
Talking to News 10, sports director Rich Donnelly, our guest here in the sports bar. There's no chance Zach Bogosian's an Amerk, right?
You know, I saw that story come down this morning, and I'm trying to see how it would fit. I don't know if he's going to remain healthy enough to actually be an Amerk, and I would think someone would pick him up. But, you know, he does cost quite a bit of money, so I don't know if another team wants to pay out. Like, I mean, I look at the whole Sabres situation. They have too many defensemen. I'm surprised they couldn't trade him. If we see him in Rochester, the Amerks are going to be better. I'll say it that way. But I just have my doubts that 30 other teams are going to let him just clear waivers.
Rich, when we're talking about the Sabres, got to get your perspective on what this team has done this season and what it might mean for the future of Jason Bottrell. You know, there's been a pretty steady drumbeat from fans that It always changes. It changes based on who they beat and who they lose to. You know, now with two wins in a row, you could say, oh, well, you know, things are going to be fine and Jason Botterill gets at least another season. That could change with a bad loss anytime that it happens. What are your thoughts on the job that Jason Botterill has done? Should he be back for another season next year?
I don't think I remember a team that has such gigantic ebbs and flows of confidence and despair as this year's Sabres team, because when they lose, it looks like Victor High School could beat them. And when they win, it looks like we're just trying to find some space on the Stanley Cup for all the names of the players. Like, when they look good, they look great. And when they look bad, they look awful. And the fan confidence goes right along with it. Like, Jack Eichel scores a goal and has a beautiful assist to Victor Olofsson last night in overtime. And they look fantastic. And I think the fans are going, like, all right, we can count the ways that we can get into the wild card and maybe even, like, skip ahead, like, earn a real playoff spot. And when they lose, you just blow the team up, and I can't believe we haven't traded Ristolainen yet and the whole deal. But so many of the players who are starting to come in to the Sabres were Tim Murray picks. Like, a lot, like, we really haven't seen a whole lot of the Jason Botterill guys in terms of draft picks really make their impact. Casey Mittelstadt, I feel this should be his first year as a pro, and he's playing well with the Amerks, but that's exactly where he should be. He should have never been with the Sabres from the jump, and I do think Botterill got abused on his entry-level contract with his agent, because with 10 games left in the season after he was drafted, left college, came in, that was year one of his entry-level deal, so he's coming up. But I just feel during this whole drought year, we are assigning a lot of the previous blame to Jason Botterill, and it's not all on him. Granted, a lot of it is, but I think if you continue to have this turnover, that's even worse. I understand that maybe Phil Housley wasn't the guy. Ralph Kruger seems to be unbelievably positive. Look, is 10 years without the playoffs all that much worse than 9? Is 9 all that much worse than 8? I realize that you want to reach the playoffs, but let this build a little more. I think you got to give him another year and see how it goes at least next year.
News 10 NBC's Rich Donnelly is our guest as we're broadcasting live today from Batavia Downs and Gaming. We invite you to come out. We're at 34 Rush. Let's move to the Orange here, Rich. Tomorrow, Florida State, they're number 8. Then you get Louisville on top of that. Rich, in order to make the NCAA tournament, do the Orange need to win one of these next two? Because to me, they're lacking a signature now, and if they lose, and then now you're only talking a couple games above 500, I think this team might be in real trouble, in particular that we don't know really what's going on with Elijah Hughes.
Oh, I think they absolutely need to win one of these games, and I wouldn't even be surprised if they need to win both. Mind you, both Florida State and Louisville are coming off of losses, so next week their rankings are going to be slightly lower. And the fact that Virginia kind of fell off the table a little bit, the win over Virginia, all of a sudden not as great as it was previously. I think Syracuse is maybe an NIT team. The way, and I think about a decade ago, the NIT realigned how they actually put teams into the NIT. So Syracuse might be on the outside looking in when it comes to that. I think a tournament berth is an extremely long shot for Syracuse. They lost a lot of games, and assuming that they don't win the ACC tournament, you're looking at 12, 13, maybe 14 losses, and the ACC as a whole really doesn't have the depth that you'd look for. I mean, you've got, I think we're closing in on 10 teams in the ACC that are going to have double-digit losses this year. I mean, Virginia Tech is bad. Miami's bad. North Carolina really dragging down the conference by not being as dominant as they were. And the fact that you have North Carolina coming to the Carrier Dome when John Wallace gets his jersey retired, we thought maybe that was going to be like the signature moment of the season. But, I mean, right now North Carolina's 4 games under 500, so it's not quite there. I think Syracuse is in big trouble, but I do like what I see out of a lot of the young players on the Orange.
Rich, before we let you go, you know, we haven't talked any Bills with you just yet. There's plenty of storylines and rumors and gossip happening here in advance of free agency. We know that Greg Olsen is somebody that the Bills have talked to. We also know that Greg Olsen is negotiating with not just the Bills, but the Redskins and the Seahawks to maybe potentially join any of these three teams. Curious about what your thoughts are on Greg Olsen. And then, you know, let's just have a bigger kind of discussion about what direction you see the Bills going here come April when we talk about the draft and free agency even before the draft. What do you see the Bills doing here this offseason in terms of getting ready for free agency and the draft?
Before I jump into the Bills, you guys going to play a little slot machine action later today?
Can you hear the slots in the background?
Yeah, you can hear it, brother.
Well, we were talking about the Bills, and you're at 34 Rush, and Thurman's place there. And yeah, I've been to Batavia Downs. I enjoy a couple games there here and there.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
So maybe get a little free time after the sports bar. You know, I think Greg Olsen's a great football player. I don't know if he's a perfect fit for the Bills, and I'll say it because I like Dawson Knox, and I think more reps for him, more chance for Dawson Knox with Josh as a starter, I think is the best. I'm not saying that, you know, they have to, you know, pigeonhole everyone. And obviously Olsen's a good player, so you want the most talent possible. And I kind of like what we saw with Tommy Sweeney, give him more of a run in special teams and as kind of that blocking tight end. And if Tyler Croft is healthy, and I know that's a big if because he really battled out a lot of injury issues, the tight end room is pretty good right now. And as we're the big assumption that Dawson Knox continues to improve the way we saw. So I would maybe pass on him, but Josh Norman is all of a sudden on the open market as of today. He was a first-team All-Pro under Sean McDermott in Carolina. I know that he's a little older and his production's fallen off, but as maybe a nickel or a dime back in the system, if you can get him at a low price, I mean, maybe he's not going to come for cheap money, but I wonder if Sean McDermott can sell him on come to Buffalo, we have something good going on. I mean, he didn't sniff the playoffs in Washington, so.
Reg, pew. I mean, he'd be benched by the Redskins the last 6 weeks. I got to know if the guy can still play, though. I mean, it's.
Well, obviously, that's a big if, but also the Redskins benched him because they didn't want him to get hurt because they didn't want to pay him anymore. Should we really judge personnel decisions by the Redskins as the barometer of good talent making?
Nah, good point well taken.
Yeah. What about free agency?
Free agency, I'm fascinated because the Bills always seem to really address the holes. Brandon Bean has said this often, that he wants to go into the draft without a need. So he'll sign guys in free agency. I would expect that we're going to see something in the way of a wide receiver, maybe a big body. I know a lot of people like Duke Williams, but something in that physical mold. And then outside linebacker. I think replacing Lorenzo Alexander is a big need for the Bills. Curious to see what they can do with the offensive line. I'd love to see them bring back Quentin Spain, but I don't know if the money's going to be right in that one. I'd be interested to see if Shaq Lawson comes back. You know, again, it's all about the money, and the Bills have quite a bit to spend, albeit for only a couple of years, because Josh and Tremaine and Trey White, Matt Milano, they're going to need to get paid. So I think to use the phrase from last year, judicious is what Brandon Bean's going to do this year. They're going to be looking for value.
Rich, what do you guys got working on tonight on News 10 NBC?
So a couple cool things. We're going a little unique and off the board, but high school swimming, Pittsburgh can go for their 18th straight sectional championship. That would be a Section 5 record. So we're going to do a little drive-by swimming. And then also, we showed this story a couple nights ago on Channel 10. The event is tomorrow, and truly just to show how small this world is. Casey Kubaro, who's a hockey player with Nazareth, his father is a captain in a fire brigade out in Australia at the front lines of those wildfires, just ravaging the bush in Australia, killing millions and millions of animals and, you know, damaging that area. They're holding a benefit tomorrow at 4 o'clock at Bill Gray's Iceplex, one of their regular season games. But, you know, they're raising money. They're going to have a jersey auction from their Frozen Frontier jerseys. He's a great guy when I spoke with him, so hopefully a lot of people can go out to that. if you want to see the story that we did, it's on our website, whtc.com. But you know, hopefully they can raise a lot of money. And, you know, who doesn't love koala bears? Come on, let's help some animals out in Australia.
Rich, it's great hearing your voice. Thanks for coming in and joining us this afternoon. Let's do it again real soon, all right?
Absolutely. Thrilled to be with you guys, and enjoy Batavia down.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.